You are listening to the Doug Hagman Radio Show, weekdays 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And now the man behind the mic, a private investigator with over 30 years under his belt, Doug Hagman.
Good morning, everyone. It's 6 a.m. on the West Coast of America, 9 a.m. here in the East. Welcome to Hagman. It's the Doug Hagman Investigative Hour for today. It's Thursday, May 17th, 2018. Well, thank everyone for joining me this morning. We're going to be taking an in-depth look at tomorrow's headlines. I've decided after some deliberation to title this episode, There Will Be Blood on American Streets, or There Will Be Blood on the Streets of America. And I came to that conclusion after watching and researching and contacting and discussing everything that's taking place with respect to the Mueller probe, the coup attempts, and what I foresee as the push by the black hats, by the Mueller people, as well as the Republican establishment. Listen to what I'm saying now. Even the people who are against Trump, and there are so many people against Donald Trump right now, that the push by Mueller is going to be, if we cannot indict a sitting president, then we are sure as heck going to make sure he's impeached, and we're going to we're just going to make the report twice as bad. Think about that for a second. If in fact the legal consensus, and there are differing legal viewpoints on this, that a sitting president cannot be indicted for crimes perceived by Mueller or concocted by the deep state shadow government, then we are going to take the report that, you know, Mueller is going to take his report to Congress and just amp up everything possible to make it sound and make it appear much worse than even the biggest pessimist or on the opposite side, the biggest optimist would ever hope for. All right. So now Larry Klayman did an interview with Crowdsource the Truth, Jason Goodman. And it was just posted, I think it was today, like hours ago, where Larry Klayman lays it out. You have to get through about 10 or 15 minutes of some audio glitches. Jason Goodman visited Larry Klayman in his office, attempted to bring Robin Gritz on, the former FBI agent. And we'll have her on. Hopefully we'll have Larry Klayman on as well on the flagship show. But you get through the 10 or 15 minutes of glitches and listen to what Larry Klayman, who's well-versed in Washington political circles, listen to what he's got to say. He's not hopeful about the OIG report. He's not hopeful about about what's coming. And that's very sobering to think about. And he says a number of other things in that audio piece. Again, you can go to Crowdsource the Truth on YouTube to find it. Great job, Jason Goodman. And again, look, we're in a position right now. This is part of it, because we're in a position right now where you might say, well, you know, I'm so tired of this person or that person or this YouTube channel or that YouTube channel. Look, we are in the fight of our lives. I don't know how else to put it. We better come together and get our act together, get our stuff together, and fight together against a common enemy. Because if we don't, we're going to lose everything. So put differences aside and let's just fight. We fight together. You know, I don't care if you don't like this person or that person. There are some people I absolutely don't agree with in terms of certain issues. Some people I don't care for. Some people I like and others I don't. We're human, right? But get over it. If you've ever been in a battlefield or on the street, you know, as a police officer or whatever, you might not like the police officer that's got your back or backing you up, but I'll tell you what, he's on your side, he's wearing blue. Same with us, all right? So let's get it together. By the way, I want to just stray a little bit here. It's been a really long night. Please pray for Steve Quayle, for his wife Loretta. She had surgery yesterday, and she was in a lot of pain. I spoke with Steve 3:30 in the morning, his time, 5:30 my time, and he's just beat up, worn out, and of course the surgery was. I'm not going to get too detailed, okay? Loretta is stable. She's resting comfortably. She's going to recover. But the medical treatment is just, it's interesting to hear. And this, if I may, please humor me on this. You know, this war on opiates or whatever it might be. I saw this with my own eyes a year ago this month, when my wife had to undergo emergency abdominal surgery for, it was 3 a.m. when she was wheeled into the operating room, and she was, of course, recovered. But I watched as the doctors in a post-operative environment were very, I don't even know if frugal is the word, but reluctant to take care of the pain. And in the case of my wife, incredible pain. And I know Loretta was in incredible pain. And it's interesting. Well, it's maddening. It's infuriating to see some of these doctors believe that, well, okay, you know, we're not going to, we have to go through some special channels, even in the post-operative state. Yes, I know it sounds ridiculous, or it sounds like, well, no, that can't be. Well, yeah, it is, where they're very reluctant or very, opiates, morphine, post-operatively, in post-operative care, very, very afraid to administer and prescribe. And you might say, oh, that's not true, you're exaggerating. Look, I've seen it with my own eyes. This war on drugs, the war on opiates, is nothing but it's a push by the marijuana industry. Now, say what you will about marijuana, medical marijuana, okay, fine. But I've noticed that, and I've got friends who are, really debilitated with legitimate injuries. Just a couple of friends, wheelchair, immobile, and in pain 24/7. And the doctors, I've been seeing the doctors push the patients toward medical marijuana in place of completely replacing, for example, opiates or like a morphine kind of palliative care. And it angers me because it's political. And I've seen doctors who refuse to even write scripts, prescriptions for opiates, all under the pretext of protecting us from the dangers of this addiction. All of this is doing, and I know, if you're listening to this, I know if it's not you, you know someone out there who is in chronic pain, and I mean devastating chronic pain, life-altering, I can't get out of bed, I don't want to move pain, that kind of pain, indescribable pain, that has seen over the last weeks, months, two years, this reluctance to relieve the pain through medication, properly prescribed medication. I'm not talking about heroin. I'm not talking about fentanyl. I'm not talking about anything stupid. I'm talking about reasonable measures. And it's because of this nanny state politician BS that's going on. And this might sound rough to say, but I'll tell you this. For the individuals out there who are advocating the elimination of opiates and, for people with chronic pain, or, we're only going to prescribe 3 days of opiates or whatever the insane policies there are. When they have cancer, when they're at the final stages of their life and they're in absolute beyond pain, indescribable, in my mind, I can visualize this tape a morphine pill to a fishing line and make him crawl across the floor for that pill for relief. Because it is them that are responsible, the bureaucrats who are responsible, and selling themselves out for the marijuana industry. Research this yourself. don't rely on what I'm saying. Research this yourself and understand that this is just the most insane policy. And I don't have to justify myself, but I'm certainly not favoring the use of narcotics. That's not what this is about. If you need that to manage a pain, then for crying out loud, you should have that. Period. If that works, great. In a post-operative situation, in a medically supervised situation, yes. And if you're stupid enough to go out there and stick a needle in your arm, then you're on your own. I don't even want to talk to you. Get out of my face. All right? But look, it's the bureaucrats that are responsible for this. Let the doctors be doctors. If you're in the DEA or whatever, you're not a doctor. Let the doctors be doctors. Let them do what they do. And if some idiot wants to go out there and stick a needle in his arm, you know what? Well, that's one less. I guess we're thinning the herd on that. And if that sounds pretty, and I've witnessed this. I've seen people die with needles in their arms. Don't forget, I spent years in emergency medical services prior to and concurrent with my time as an investigator. Well, you know what? And as a matter of fact, I had a coworker who I had to let go. This is years ago now. Years ago. Who died with a needle in his arm. But that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about are legitimate chronic pain patients that need medication, and the bureaucrats are preventing this from happening. It's infuriating to me that we've got this nanny state driven by, and if you research this, the money behind this is driven by the marijuana industry, you know, the proponents of marijuana. Look, I think both have their places. Marijuana has its place as well as the opiates. They both have their place, but do not try to be doctors when you're bureaucrats. Don't try to regulate the pain medication for legitimate chronic pain patients. Get out of the medical business and stay the hell out of the medical business. And how I got off on that, of course, was talking about Loretta Quayle, Steve Quayle's wife, of course, having surgery. And I'm not going to get into it, but suffice it to say, look, she's resting comfortably now. She will recover. She had hip surgery. I guess I can say that much. Pastor David Langford spoke about that last night. But to hear the process that she went through to try to get relief post-operatively, and the red tape that was overlapped into the red tape to force into the post-operative care because of the ignorant laws and policies and procedures, and want to make sure everybody, you know, you, my goodness, this stuff, you know, it's like nuclear fuel rods or something. I don't know. But I did talk to Steve. Keep Steve in your prayers because, I mean, he's mega stressed. He was supposed to leave for Europe today, for Italy, for the tour with Tim Alberino, and that went south for Steve. Tyler, I think his son went in this place. The bottom line is crazy. Things are really crazy out there. So, but please, even send Steve an email, just a note of encouragement, if you are so inclined. Just tell him you're thinking about him, praying for him and his wife and such, because we know that. Look, we're one big family. But anyway, I just want to get that off my chest about this opiate, this ridiculous war on opiates. And don't you know what? Don't please, if you got a family member who OD'd and you've got a thing about this, please save your emails. I'm sorry for your loss, but do not. Punish the chronic or the legitimate patients. Do not punish look, I don't need report after report about marijuana, about the effectiveness. I understand. It's got a place. Yes, it does. Just like opiates. I understand that. But you also understand have to understand too, when you when we collectively and individually are being gamed, if you are being gamed by your doctor, hey, you're on chronic pain medication, why don't you think about going on medical marijuana, replace the opiates? Okay, maybe in some cases that's correct. Maybe that's the right thing to do. But all I'm saying is let doctors be doctors. Let the people who make the laws stay the hell out of the medical business and understand what's going on. So please don't send me articles about marijuana. Don't send me articles about – just save your emails in this case. It's been a long night and it's been a long day already and it's just only after 9. So but anyway, back to Larry Klayman and Jason Goodman. Larry Klayman specifically saying that he does not have a lot of hope with respect to the OIG report. And more specifically, he believes that the OIG report is not going to go far enough. And he describes, and he's sitting in a chair in his office, and he's using the last 3 decades as a template. He said, when in the last 30 years has Washington or has the political system taken care of the criminality within the political system? It's never done that. So don't expect the OIG report to do this. Now, I believe personally, and I've said this in the program in the past, the OIG will expose the criminality, will expose the misdeeds and criminal actions of Clinton and the people around Clinton and Obama, perhaps members of the FBI and DOJ. I believe that to be the case. But when it comes to the bottom line, will there be any justice served? And Larry Klayman is not very hopeful. And from that, he said basically that there will be a visceral response by the people, the pro-Donald Trump people, especially combined with the Mueller report against the president. So there will be blood in the streets, essentially. He's not hopeful about a legitimate or a peaceful resolution to all of this internally here. And the more I researched and the more I listened and the more I thought about this, even in the short time I had, I can see his point, and I'm afraid that okay, I'm starting to feel this way. Because when you have this abject criminality by the judges, when you've got federal judges afraid, as he put it, of their own shadow, afraid to rock the boat, we've got problems in this country. And that's why federal judgeships, for example, are so important. And that's why there's this fight to replace various political parties to either slow walk some nominations or some appointments. We're seeing that under Donald Trump because the federal judiciary is a very important line of defense and offense. But having said that, you're seeing this play out in real time today. And could it be, are we going to see an OIG report? And then I've given hope to the OIG report. But at the end of the day, will it make a difference? Will it result in any indictments of the big players here? Larry Klayman says, no, I don't think so. Yeah, you might get people like McCabe and Strzok and Page, but are you going to really get the criminals like Hillary Clinton? Are you really going to get the criminals at that level or just below that level? Perhaps not. Now, combine that combine that with the Mueller special counsel report that's going to be more incendiary because of the inability for Mueller to indict, then he's going to make it sound a lot worse and paint a bigger, worse picture. We are ripe for revolution. We are ripe for both civil war and revolution. And I see this playing out. Now, you know, if you've listened to this program, that I've put a lot of stock into the information passed on by Fox News, for example, the terrific investigative work done by Sarah Carter and by others, including the reporters at Fox, Greg Jarrett, and you've heard it on this program. And I still stand behind that. But Larry Klayman does make a good point in an article that was published 6 days ago at this was at WND. And the title of the article was, "What If Fox News Reported the Whole Truth?" Emphasis on the word whole. And what I've seen over the past decade, I have to agree with him 100%. Let me tell you some inside baseball as well, some inside information as well. Now, if you don't know who Larry Klayman is, I really believe everyone does. He founded Judicial Watch and then went on to be the founder of FreedomWatchUSA.org. And I would urge everyone to go to FreedomWatchUSA.org. And by the way, sign the petition there, I just did, to make Larry Klayman a special counsel to replace Mueller and to get to the bottom of things. I believe that there's 24,000 signatures. They need 100,000 signatures. It can be done. But back to the column that Larry Klayman wrote, he writes that he's very familiar with Fox News and other conservative media platforms, but he's concerned that Fox News, for one, they're not sufficiently educating the masses about this ever-growing cancerous corruption in America, caused primarily by the downright sleazy establishments infesting the political and legal systems. Now, he makes some good points. Again, I've seen this. I've talked to people at Fox News. I've had, one individual. I wrote about this in 2013. A very well known commentator at Fox News, or with a very well known conservative talk show host, I'll just put it that way, gave me a statement as an investigator in New York State and in Pennsylvania, knowing that I could not release the statement. This individual wanted to go on record to say that this individual was muzzled from talking about the eligibility of Barack Hussein Obama to be president by the officials, the overseers, his producers, and the people over this individual. And I've seen this time and again. And I'm bound by the confidentiality, by my licensing. I've got a statement, but I can't. This individual wanted to go on record, but I cannot talk any further about that, except for it exists. But having said that, Larry Klayman goes into some pretty interesting analysis of the state of conservative media today, where he writes that he said, "I hope that a read of my columns and blogs over the years will not only tell the tale of our republic's downward slide in ethics and morality and how we the people must rise up to fix it, but also the outright contempt for the rule of law by our nation's establishment elites." And he goes on to say that in 2009, he wrote about this dangerous denigration in his autobiography, which is titled Whores, Why and How I Came to Fight the Establishment. And then there's a sequel to that as well. But he writes that the problem with much of the conservative media, including Fox News, is that the information spewed forth each night is massaged or censored to be politically correct, and it's designed not to ruffle too many feathers. Yeah, get the information out there. But if you want to go here or there, don't go there. And we see this happening in many of the popular conservative shows today. I've got a couple in mind I'm thinking about right now, where the first thing, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I don't buy into conspiracy theories. Well, neither do I. I'm a conspiracy realist. I do know a conspiracy by definition when I see one. Again, he writes that the problem with the conservative media is they don't go far enough. They self-censor to be politically correct and not to ruffle too many feathers, because and I know, just in my experience, limited as it might be, as a talk show host, that there will be people that will say, well, you know what, I'm not going to go on your program. And the reason why, you go too far out in the weeds. And I cannot afford to be associated with that kind of conversation. You talked about the eligibility issue of Obama. As much as I like you, and as much as I want to be on your program, I can't do it. You know, my publicist won't allow me to do it, or it would be bad for my reputation. Folks, that's the honest truth. See, and writes Larry Klayman, unfortunately, the time for niceties has long since passed, as if it were ever a genuine consideration anyway, which explains the popularity, no matter what the rabid leftist media thinks, of Donald Trump, because Donald Trump often tweets what he thinks. He doesn't hold back. He's coarse sometimes. But there's never any doubt about what's on his mind or how he feels. He tells it like it is. Ask yourself, which president in modern history would call judges who deserve it? What president would call them biased and dishonest, or rip them a new one for what they've done? We haven't seen this ever, this level of transparency ever before, in at least not in modern times. Of course, we talk about the gravitas and, you know, that kind of decorum, statesmanlike gravitas. Well, it doesn't pay the bills. It doesn't get things done. And Klayman writes that back during the early days of Fox News, during the Clinton administration, it was forbidden to talk on air about the likely cause of the death of White House Deputy Counsel Vince Foster, someone who is very close to First Lady Hillary Clinton. And let me tell everyone listening to this broadcast, it is that very subject, the death of Vince Foster. When I talk about this, and I will assert this, it is when we start poking around there that, oh my goodness, the lawfare from heaven, or from hell, I should say, the lawfare from hell bubbles up. That's right. There are people out there who claim to have truthful. I'm the only one that's got the truth on the death of Vince Foster, the strange death of Vince Foster. I'm the only one. I know what happened. Don't talk about it. I'm the expert. And how dare you, there are certain hinge moments and hinge points and hinge topics, certain things that will, when you're over a target, when you're talking, for example, about the murder of Vince Foster. Oh, he wasn't murdered. No. In fact, that's not what my book says. How dare you? When you talk about the murder of Vince Foster, for example, suddenly things happen. When you get too close to the truth, things happen. Blowback, incredible blowback. And Larry Klayman's talking about this. It was forbidden on Fox News to talk about the circumstances surrounding the death of Vince Foster. Again, someone very close to Hillary Clinton at the time. Foster was, in effect, Hillary's right-hand man, her former partner at the Rose Law Firm in Little Rock, Arkansas. It was rumored at the time that Foster was also Hillary's main squeeze during a time when she had not totally turned her attention to the feminine gender, such as with her apparent significant other, Huma Abedin. But I want to draw your attention to this, because this is what I've been saying for really months on this show. These are the topics that are important enough to really get to the bottom of, because when you start peeling back the information contained in these topics, when you start identifying the criminality and even the homicide by the individuals in charge or because of them, then, oh my goodness, first of all, don't even go on Fox News to talk about that. You can't talk about that. And when, as an independent platform, you do speak about it, I do speak about it, Well, you're fake news. We're going to have to sue you for defamation. Oh, and you can't talk about this because why? Because the family doesn't want you to talk about it, and it's insensitive to talk about it. Well, I'll tell you this, the security and future of our nation, in my view anyway, and all of this is in my view, this is my personal opinion, it certainly trumps the, no pun intended, trumps the family's need or desire for privacy in the case of a man of this caliber, and that being Vince Foster. But Larry Klayman talks about what can and can't be spoken of or what couldn't be talked about, and references as well the eligibility issue, of which, again, I know a lot about. Spoke about this yesterday to an extent. You can't talk about this on Fox News. The fact that, and I'm not talking about where he was born, where Obama was born. I'm talking about the oddities surrounding the document that was presented by the White House. I'm talking about his constitutional eligibility to hold office, which essentially is his allegiance to the United States. This is no small matter. But back to Foster, you know, of course, he met his end at Fort Marcy Park. And many thought, including Farah of WND and Christopher Ruddy of Newsmax, that his death was no accident, nor was it believed to be a suicide. But writes Klayman, how Foster died was important to explain many of the Clinton scandals, including IRSgate. Yes, even under Clinton, IRSgate, Filegate, Travelgate, including the hard fact that scores of material witnesses died during the Clinton years. Now, Klayman had taken testimony, oral depositions, including people such as Linda Tripp and others. They believed, according to Larry Klayman, that Vince Foster was the one mildly ethical person in the Clinton White House. Perhaps he knew where all of the bodies were buried, figuratively and perhaps literally. And when Hillary's misdeeds came before grand juries, Foster, were he alive to tell the truth, could likely have put the Wicked Witch of the Left away for life or worse. Which explains why a truthful and uncensored presentation of facts on Fox News would have helped people fully grasp the potential ramifications of Foster's death. But look, that same logic applies to the former Muslim in chief Barack Hussein Obama. That this president was half Muslim or fully Muslim under Sharia law, whatever, had Islamic loyalties. It explains his antipathy toward Jews and the nation of Israel. Much less the antagonism against Christians, and the many other pro-Islamic acts that he, as president, including his now Trump-trashed Iranian nuclear deal. Look at it through, you've got to look at all of the happenings through a wider angle lens. This is what we're seeing today. But see, Fox News barred its broadcasters from ever mentioning Obama's Muslim roots. Is this correct? So, and Larry Klayman, as I am, we are thankful, very thankful, for people like Sean Hannity and Greg Jarrett and others, Laura Ingraham, who really bring information to the forefront. But as I said and have indicated in this show, they don't go far enough. They don't go deep enough. And even some spin-offs of guests who have been on Fox News, they don't go deep enough or far enough. Why? Because, well, they wouldn't get syndication deals. You can tell who plays ball with who if just by the syndication deals and by the appearances on like Fox News or their appearances on other large radio shows. You can tell who's playing ball and who's agreeing to pull the punches back and not talk about this or that, not go there. But the time is up for that. We're beyond that. We cannot play ball like that anymore. And in this WND piece, Larry Klayman wraps it up by saying, more just this week, beleaguered Fox Business Network host Charles Payne. He was forced to apologize. And now, this is last week because, again, this article is 6 days old. For a seemingly true statement that retired General Tom McInerney made about Senator John McCain. And this was in reference to the anti-Trump, hate-filled, dying senator opposing the confirmation of CIA Director Designate Gina Haspel, because she, as a career agency official, approved as a means of interrogation the torture and of captured terrorists immediately following 9/11. The general had commented on McCain's hypocrisy, wryly stating that the torture apparently worked when McCain was a prisoner in Vietnam, which is why he was nicknamed Songbird McCain. But again, being forced to apologize. And to his credit, Larry Klayman says that he's thankful that Fox News exists, as I am, and it has done much good, but it does not do enough to really truly educate the masses on the hard truth. And please understand what I'm saying. I'm not dissing Fox News. I'm not dissing. What I'm saying is we're just not going far enough. We on the conservative right, who are in search of truth, must be after the whole truth, all of it, even the uncomfortable areas of the truth. Even we have to go places where we don't necessarily want to go, or certainly we have to go places where it's not politically correct to go. We cannot allow any more political correctness to define where our investigation goes. We must not be constrained by that. And this is what Larry Klayman is saying, and I totally agree. And because of this, the Americans are not getting the whole story. So you can look, you can spend your time 3 hours a day listening to Rush Limbaugh. Do you ever think that he's going to go into the so-called fringe conspiracy theories about or have any discussion about the murder of Vince Foster? Of course not. Beyond certain parameters, and insert name here. I mean, you got Levin, you got Savage, you got so many out there who have that mic time and have the numbers. But do they go far enough? No. So, getting back to the original message here of this of my time of this episode, there will be blood in the streets. For the reasons I said at the beginning of the program, this combination of this Mueller witch hunt, we have to get rid of Donald Trump by any means necessary. That includes includes Republicans as well, because don't forget it's the Uniparty. Combined with the lack of justice, equally applied justice, when the OIG report comes out, if it doesn't go far enough, and I don't think it will, I think it'll expose a lot. I think it's going to be great, but at the end of the day, will it allow justice to be brought to the individuals in need? It is here where Larry Klayman is doubtful, and I agree with his assessment. And while we're talking about this, why do you think? Is it just coincidence, mere coincidence, that we are having all of the problems with censorship? Who is deciding what can and cannot be posted on social media? Of course not. This is not coincidental, because the stronger the alternative media gets, the more thirsty and hungry for the truth Americans get, and the more that they are red-pilled or realize that we have been sold a bill of goods, and that the real truth is much deeper, the acts are much more nefarious than we have been led to believe, then of course, this is the reason for censorship. This is why the big push for censorship, because the American population, a percentage of the American population, is waking up to the fact that we're not getting the whole truth from the big talkers, despite their conservative labels, because of the constraints put in place by the people who give them their paychecks. It's as simple as that. So people are turning from the big talkers in many cases and going to the alternative media, programs like ours, which exist because of your support. And of course, you're getting the red meat, I believe. I dig deeper into issues you're not going to hear necessarily on by the big talkers. I'll just call them that. So they're not going to shut us up through refuting the facts. So they've got to shut us up. How? Through censorship, by saying, well, this is fake news. Hence the phrase, the current iteration of the use of the phrase fake news. It used to be conspiracy theory. Now it's fake news. And it's actually both. But it's the people who are paying the bills, who've got the money, who are controlling the airwaves, saying, look, we're not going to allow this information to get out. And most assuredly, we're not going to put it on our airwaves, which is why we've seen the consolidation of media to six corporations that own 98% of the media out there, so they can control what is being said. When what they can't control, they will destroy. And that's what we're seeing now. We're seeing the destruction. If you watch the destruction of alternative platforms, the attempted destruction of, for example, InfoWars, do you think that the people who are signing on and who are applauding the destruction or the attempted destruction of that platform or the attempted destruction of any platform, those people who are applauding that because, oh, I just don't like them, or I don't like him, or I don't like Hagman, I don't like Jones, I don't like this person, that so it's so good to see him go down. Are you really thinking through this? Because at some point, it's going to be your voice to those who are wishing and clapping and saying, yay, you know, this platform is losing listeners or has lost listeners and because of some perceived credibility issue that was manufactured. And this is why it's so important to me. Or this platform went down because, well, the lawsuits, for example, the defamation suits, we're going to bleed them dry. We don't expect to win. They don't have to win lawsuits. All they have to do is divert resources and divert attention. That's what I was saying early on. And that's why this is so critical to me, because at the end of the day, what are we going to see when people don't have the platforms to speak, when they are prohibited from accessing truthful content, and throw into the equation when they see no justice, or even worse, a dual system of justice where the elites, the power brokers, they get off scot-free, yet the lower-level people, us, you and I, we are taken to the woodshed legally, and we have our clocks cleaned legally. When that happens, and we're coming to that point, there will be blood in the streets, because what alternative is there? What alternative at that moment in time is left for the American people? So I want to prepare you, the listener, for what is coming. You can see it. The writing is clear. You can see what's taking place. Now, again, I'm not advocating for this, not even close, because I'm not even sure what it would look like, but I can guarantee you it's not going to look like anything that we think it will. It's going to be much worse. So that's my assessment of what's taking place today. And that's my assessment of where we are at today. You know, we've seen this, and we could tick off the scandals, the crimes. We can go back to, my goodness, how many, whether it's Benghazi, IRS, I talked about everything yesterday. Now we're seeing things play out in real time, thanks to the wonders, if you will, of the internet and social media, which they want to take away because they're unable to control the content. So they've got to control the content makers. They've got to shut us down. And that's what we're seeing today. So when that happens, what recourse or what's left? And the other thing is, how many are really talking about this with the intellectual honesty that's needed and the sobriety? And I don't want to sound like I'm giving a lecture here. All I'm saying is we need to take a really hard look at this. So when you see, for example, Twitter feeds, and you see people assailing alternative media, certain people in alternative media, and I use InfoWars as an example. I'm going to be hosting the fourth hour of InfoWars. You know, I see people taking great delight in their perceived demise, whatever that might be. And I don't agree with that any more than I would agree with the demise of anyone on the left, as hard as it is for me to say that. Look, I don't subscribe to socialism or socialistic ideology or Marxism. No, I don't. But in the United States, we have that freedom of speech. And they've got the right to speak what's on their mind as well. Let the listeners decide. Let the people decide. But when you've got people controlling the platforms, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, the people who control the platforms, who adhere to this Marxist, socialist, communist ideology, where they will pull the plug if they don't agree with the content, then we've got a problem. And the lack of people coming to the defense of the people who are getting the plugs pulled and their platforms destroyed, well, it's only a matter of time before it happens to you. To all of us. And forgive me if you think I put an inordinate amount of time on this, or spent an inordinate amount of time on this, reiterating what I've said in the past, but I think we're getting to the point now where I would urge everyone to raise up their heads and look around, take note of the environment, and really be cautious. Because, believe me, we have enough critics out there. Obviously, we've got people who just exist simply to criticize us. And by us, I mean the alternative media or people within the alternative media. That's all they do. And they believe that they somehow are serving a higher purpose. Well, I'm here to tell you they're not. I'm here to tell you that the very people who some believe are really the arbiters of the truth and judges of what should be said and what shouldn't be said, they don't have our best interests at heart, your best interests at heart. And if a platform like mine, if it turns out where I give BS information, then you know what? People will stop listening. It's as simple as that. The support will wane. And but ultimately, who decides? You decide. Because as I've said in past programs, there are individuals out there, and especially the government, they think that you're stupid. They think I'm stupid. But worse, that we cannot, that they've got to be the nannies, be the guardians of ours, because God forbid, literally, that we would be able to make decisions for ourselves and decide what is, you know, true for ourselves. I noticed on a recent legal pleading where, you know, it said, for example, my discussion of the Pettigate scandal, Pizzagate, which is the term is not about any specific shop or person, that the term is meant to describe a pattern of illicit conduct. How the mere discussion of this has, and I'm quoting now, real life consequences. Citing, of course, that person who went into the pizza shop in D.C. and took a shot, for whatever reason, right? citing that for as an example, why we or why they must regulate free speech or regulate speech. This is what's happening today. So, as much as I am hopeful for the OIG report to bring forth a lot of new information, with most recent investigation, most recent research and discussion, I am also wary that it's not going to go far enough. And as a consequence, there will be bloodshed unnecessarily because we're not paying attention now. The majority of us are not paying enough attention now to stop that. So we have to stand behind the people who are attempting to spread the truth or what, at least get the information out there. We have to stand behind those people. So that's, and again, forgive me if you think I spent too much time on this, but it is so critical to me, in my view, and it's not just because I'm personally going through it, it's because all of you will end up going through it. Myself, I just happen to be one of the first test cases. Alex Jones the same way. Others the same way. It's like Las Vegas. And I just, the side road here. Obviously, everything about that shooting in Las Vegas last year, we still haven't gotten answers on. We don't know really what happened. The mere discussion of it is, again, forbidden. But people know when they're being gamed. You know when you're being, look, you know, I don't have to tell you. You, the listeners of this show, are smart enough to know when you're being hosed. You know, it's amazing. I've sat with a number of people, and I talk about this. I've conducted interviews of prisoners and at Rikers and in Attica. And when you sit across from a prisoner, a criminal, and you're engaged in this interview and interrogation, or interview, I'll say, you know when you're being hosed. But see, sitting on the other side of the table, you know what that person is. I mean, they're identified by their prison uniform, by their prison garb. So you know what you're dealing with. It's not that easy in the real world where there are no uniforms. When a person in a three-piece suit who appears credible could be gaming you. So discernment, discernment, discernment. And I say that because I believe that each one of my listeners, at least to this program, you are capable of discerning what is true and what's not. Making the decision for yourself, if not on the spot, then certainly through research. I give you that much credit. But again, I caution everyone, we are headed for a very volatile time in American history. And that's being, we're being goaded into this, and people are applauding. They're cheering for this to happen, and it's wrong. Just sharing my heart today. That's all. There's so much news that we can get into. I mean, obviously, there's so much information now breaking about the criminality of Hillary Clinton, of Bill Clinton, of Obama, of Brennan and Clapper. I talk about it every day, but sometimes you just need to sit down and we just need to have a heart-to-heart, don't we? And if possible, do me a favor. I'd like your feedback on this episode. You can send an email directly to me. I read every single email. Doug@HagmanReport.com. Look in the program description. And let me know what you think. Share with me your thoughts on this. Tell me if I'm off base. Or you don't need to say, hey, great job. No. Just tell me what you think in terms of the subject matter. I'm looking for your input, your analysis. And as well, if you have issues and I'm working on a couple topics right now that people have sent me emails saying, would you look into this and this and this and this? Absolutely. I will. So if you have a suggestion of a specific topic that you would like to hear, send it to me as well. Now, because of the diversity of topics, obviously, it might take me a while to get to it, but understand this, I've gotten your email, and I will read your email, and I certainly will put that topic, whatever it might be, on the list of things to discuss, if it's relative to this program. So nothing is off limits, but I'd love to hear from you, doug@hagmanreport.com. I'm not soliciting anything but just your thoughts about content. That's all. I'm not soliciting anything else. All right. So I just want to wrap up with these two important headlines, issues. The Department of Justice Inspector General, Michael Horowitz, he's issued a draft report on James Comey's sham investigation of Hillary Clinton's crimes. It's not going to be good. It's just a question of how bad it's going to be. My take, it's not going to go far enough. It's going to be enough to expose, but will it go far enough to indict? That's the issue. And the other issue, as well as being reported now in the Daily Wire, the FBI used secret program to gather information on Trump campaign. No judge needed, report says. Well, this goes back to the larger issue. I would remind people that you are under surveillance, I'm under surveillance, audio surveillance, email surveillance. The abuses, the intrusions into our personal lives right now, it is without any doubt against the Constitution, and it's rampant. Back in 2013, I go back to that year when I finished a telephone conversation and showing up on my caller ID in a ringback fashion, obviously in a mistake and an errant weird oddities, something happened. It showed up on my caller ID, NSA or Utah Data Recording Center. Okay. And of course that my conversation, and at the time I was speaking with a reporter from Fox News about Benghazi, and I'm not going to recount the entire story here, but I told you back then, I wrote about it back then, that everyone is under audio surveillance, the rampant abuses, and you know this, the rampant abuses against our privacy, changing liberty for, sacrificing our liberty for the perception of security. That's what's happening today. But it's painful to hear the extent by which the Department of Justice and FBI used secret programs, extrajudicial programs, to spy on a private citizen, a president-elect, and then a president. If you go to the Daily Wire, dailywire.com, there's a report up on the Daily Wire about this issue. You might want to take a look at that. There's a government informant. I spoke about this as well. Someone who met several times with Trump campaign officials, spoken about, referenced about there. A couple of other issues, national security letters, you can read the article for yourself, but it's an enlightening article. I recommend it. And it's enlightening. So with that, I hope that this time, the time that we spent together today, I hope it was meaningful for you. I hope you got something out of it. I hope my analysis of events is at least insightful to you. And again, I'm looking for your feedback, doug@hagmanreport.com. I'm not looking for accolades or anything like that. I'm just looking for thoughts on content. Join me, fourth hour today, Infowars.com. Don't forget, say a prayer for Steve Quayle, his wife Loretta having surgery. She's recovering, but boy, what a mess. And keep him in your prayers and send him a note if you want as well of encouragement. But in the meantime, let's all stay together. Let's all stick together and let's all fight together, because together we can win. May God bless you.
The Doug Hagman Radio Show is brought to you by The Hagman Report. Tune in to The Hagman Report weekdays, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. For more information, go to HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com.